for your service to your client and the court. Our next case this morning is Keith Dukeran versus Cook County, case 113197. Ms. Schmidt? No, I'm sorry. That's who's on my card. Ms. Becker. Got it. Arguing under the supervision of Mr. Schmidt. Got it. Welcome.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Lily Becker. I'm a senior law student, and I represent the appellant, Dr. Keith Dukeran. Your Honors, although there are two issues on appeal in this case, I will be focusing on the issue of whether Dr. Dukeran had a full and fair opportunity to litigate his employment discrimination claims. Now, the district court found that Dr. Dukeran did indeed have a full and fair opportunity to litigate his claims based on this court's opinion in Garcia versus Village of Mount Prospect, a 2004 case. However, Garcia was wrongly decided in two important respects. First, Garcia incorrectly assumed that litigants could join their Title VII claims directly to their common law writ of certiorari. But this is incorrect because prior to 2009, more than two decades of Illinois appellate court precedents established very clearly that Illinois courts had no original jurisdiction over federal or state employment discrimination claims. So because these state courts lacked jurisdiction over Title VII claims, there was no way prior to 2009 for Dr. Dukeran to join a Title VII claim to his common law writ of certiorari.
Why couldn't he have tried what Mr. Blunt tried, and just tried to join them, which ultimately produced the change in Illinois law?
Well, Your Honor, that's correct, that the plaintiff in Blount did ultimately challenge this precedent. However, again, at the time of Dr. Dukeran's case in 2005, there were two decades of Illinois appellate court precedent that clearly spoke to this issue and that clearly removed any jurisdiction from the Illinois courts over these types of claims. Dr. Dukeran relied on that precedent when he developed his strategy. Now, returning to the question of why Garcia was wrongly decided, it was also wrongly decided in a second important respect, which was that the court in Garcia incorrectly assumed that litigants could pursue their Title VII claims through the procedures of the Illinois Department of Human Rights. So in other words, even if Dr. Dukeran couldn't have joined his Title VII claims directly to his common law writ of certiorari, the Garcia court assumed that in that case, even then, he could go through the procedures of the Illinois Department of Human Rights. This is incorrect for two reasons. The first reason being that the department has no jurisdiction over Title VII claims. But, Your Honors, this is largely irrelevant because even if the department did have jurisdiction over Title VII claims, and even if Dr. Dukeran could have used the procedures of the department to pursue his Title VII claims, pre-2008, any review of a decision by the Illinois Department of Human Rights was in the Illinois Appellate Court and not in the Illinois Circuit Court. Now, in 2008, the law changed when the Illinois legislature passed the Right to Sue Act, and currently litigants do have a right of review in the Illinois Circuit Court. But in 2005, when Dr. Dukeran was pursuing his common law writ of certiorari, even if he'd been able to go through the department with his Title VII claim, the claim simply wouldn't have matched up. One would have been in the Illinois Circuit Court, one would have been in the Illinois Appellate Court, and there would have been no way for him to join those claims. Now, Your Honors, moving beyond Garcia, the county argues that even if Dr. Dukeran could not have joined a Title VII claim to his common law writ of certiorari, whether directly or through the department, the county argues that he still could have raised discrimination as a sort of defense against his discharge during his common law writ of certiorari proceeding. However, this is incorrect for a few different reasons. First of all, under the Administrative Review Act, which the county noted in its brief, applies here to this common law writ of certiorari proceeding, The court cannot supplement the record on review. This is an appellate procedure. This is not a fact-finding procedure. And Illinois case law, as well as the Administrative Review Act, speak to this. So Dr. Duker, even if he had raised discrimination as a defense to his discharge in the common law writ of certiorari, would have had no way of proving the discrimination because he wouldn't have had access to discovery. The court simply was not authorized to allow that discovery because of the nature of the proceeding.
Doesn't common law certiorari in Illinois permit expansion of the record?
Well, Your Honor, I believe you're referring to two cases. There's a case of Davis and Durgins, which are both Seventh Circuit cases. And those cases both say that when a litigant joins an independent cause of action, in those cases it was a 1983 action, to a common law writ of certiorari, indeed, the court may supplement the record and the litigant may pursue discovery. But the key distinction there is that an independent cause of action is being joined. And so you have the common law writ of certiorari, which again is an appellate type procedure, alongside a completely independent cause of action, which is on its merits.
Right. Oh, I understand that distinction, but the common law writ of certiorari procedure, we're not under the Administrative Review Act. We're under common law certiorari here, right? And that permits the circuit court, it's an equitable kind of a procedure. The state circuit court judge can open up the record in an appropriate case.
Your Honor, to my
generally an administrative review procedure, but if there's a reason to open up the record, for example, to permit a defense based on discrimination, the court can do that. Unless there's something about Illinois law that I'm unfamiliar with, that's how it works in my state.
Your Honor, to my knowledge, that's actually not true. That the common law writ of certiorari follows the procedures of the Administrative Review Act insofar as it's essentially the same type of review, the difference being that here the review is of the agency's decision itself, not of an independent agency determination such as the Civil Service Commission. So here, if we do look to the Administrative Review Act, which the county has conceded and Illinois courts have noted applies to the common law writ of certiorari, the court may not supplement the record. So again, that distinction between this case and Garcia and Davis and Durgins is crucial because, again, pre-2009, since the Illinois courts did not have jurisdiction over these cases, and he could not have joined it as an independent action, the court would have had no authority to supplement the record and to open this up to discovery. So Dr. Jukrin would have had no way of getting discovery and of proving his discrimination claims, of proving that similarly situated colleagues were treated differently.
Well, he could have asked the court then to stay the certiorari proceedings while he pursued administrative remedies on the discrimination claim and then joined the claim. Was that avenue not open to him?
I'm sorry. So
he seeks certiorari review, but wants to pursue a discrimination claim as well, so initiates administrative proceedings in the appropriate state agency for that purpose and federal agency for that matter, and asks the circuit court to stay the certiorari proceedings pending the outcome of those administrative proceedings in order to then join all the related claims instead of splitting them like this. Was that avenue not available?
Well, two things, Your Honor. Again, Dr. Jukrin could not have joined a federal employment discrimination claim to his common law writ of certiorari because prior to 2009, Illinois courts had spoken very clearly on the subject. And also, as far as, even if he could have, as far as staying, at requesting a stay in the circuit court and then pursuing his Title VII claims, which is what the county is suggesting he should have done, not only would he not have been able to join that subsequently, but that also raises issues of in the Illinois Administrative Review Act, it states clearly that that employees that have been discharged have the right to a review with all convenient speed. And so for him to then seek a stay, go to federal court, and again, this is assuming he could have joined it, which he couldn't have.
I mean, this is not the first time I've encountered this very confusing, duplicative set of procedures under Illinois law. And I guess I'm troubled by the idea that we get to do all this two or three different times. Doesn't Dr. Ducrin still have his administrative proceeding pending?
No, Your Honor, he does not. The trial court, the Illinois Circuit Court, actually reversed his discharge and found that it was against him. It was arbitrary and capricious.
I thought he had a claim in. I know the state court proceedings were resolved there, but doesn't he have a human rights claim under Illinois law?
Your Honor, I see my time is up. May I answer the question?
It's not up yet.
Oh, okay.
And you may always answer the question.
He does have an Illinois Human Rights Act claim that is pending. However, that is a separate Illinois Human Rights Act claim from the current claim. And that regards only discrimination and retaliation with regards to disparate pay. But that is a separate claim from his discharge claim.
Before you go, I just wanted to focus on one thing. And I know, obviously, you weren't counsel. But this race issue must have occurred to him a lot sooner. And that's just... I'm perplexed if that really is a problem or was, or why that wasn't engaged a long time ago.
Well, Your Honor, as you mentioned, he was aware of some discrimination, and in 2005 he did file a charge with the EEOC and the IH, the Illinois Department of Human Rights, regarding discrimination as far as pay. Now, as far as the discrimination as far as his discharge, Dr. Ducrin did raise the issue of discrimination as soon as he was terminated. His termination was the adverse action, and that didn't occur until he was fired by the Cook County Board. Up until he was fired by the Cook County Board, there was simply a series of conflicting recommendations, some recommending he be fired, some recommending he merely get a suspension. So up until he was actually fired by the Cook County Board, no adverse action had been taken. And so immediately when he was fired by the Cook County Board, he did raise discrimination in the EEOC and the IHRC.
What about the Stratton case from the Illinois Supreme Court in 1990, which holds that the common law writ of certiorari does contemplate expanding the record to accommodate a Section 1983 claim filed in tandem with it?
Yes, Your Honor. That issue was also raised in Davis and Juergens, and the court said that because an independent cause of action is being appended to the common law writ of certiorari, and because that independent cause of action, unlike the common law writ, which is an appellate procedure, because it's a trial-like procedure and it's a fact-finding procedure, that is the reason that the court may allow discovery. But here, Illinois courts have no jurisdiction to hear an independent Title VII claim. And so it simply could not be joined. And if he had simply raised it as a defense, that not being an independent cause of action and a trial on the merits, discovery simply was not available.
Thank you.
Your Honors, thank you for your time. I respectfully urge the court to reverse the decision below.
Thank you. Mr. Kuswara.
Good morning. May it please the court, Michael Kuswara, Jr. for the appellee defendant. Judge Sykes, as you indicated in regards to Stratton versus Winona Community Unit District, Dr. Ducrin did have the opportunity to under administrative review, to bring the Title VII claim. Why
wouldn't the Court of Appeals, Illinois Appellate Court, have thrown that out?
Because the Illinois Appellate Court had the opportunity for administrative review to take the claim of the Title VII claim.
Until Blount was decided, wasn't the law simply that you couldn't bring this sort of Title VII case in Illinois courts?
Judge, we disagree with that, where Blount is consistent with the U.S. Supreme Court Yellow Freight, that there is concurrent jurisdiction in the Title VII claims.
I agree, but it seemed like the Illinois Appellate Court didn't agree for quite a long time. And what we're talking about here is an opportunity, a fair opportunity, and that we usually don't invite people to, or at least at their peril, to decline to challenge decades of consistent precedent. Mm-hmm.
Judge, Dr. Dukeran did have the opportunity on each level and never did bring the Title VII claim.
At the time he filed the cert action, what was the state of Illinois law as to whether he could add Title VII?
There is case law also that he could bring the Title VII claim. Obviously, they're claiming that under Blount that they couldn't, but there is significant case law that under Davis versus the City of Chicago, under Durgin versus City of East St. Louis, the Illinois permits persons to bring joint constitutional claims with requests for administrative review.
Those are Section 1983 claims, right?
Correct.
But there is also a line of Illinois appellate court cases rejecting Title VII, right?
Correct.
Was there a split in Illinois authority on that question?
Yes.
On Title VII?
Our position is that there, Dr. Dukeran had the opportunity to bring that.
I understand your position. Give me the case law, please.
We would say
he should have relied upon.
Our position is that he should have relied on the Illinois Supreme Court case of Kremer, where he had the opportunity to bring the Title VII claim. Based upon the doctrine of res judicata, Dr. Dukeran, the Kremer has two prongs, and Dr. Dukeran cannot surmount these two prongs where there's res judicata, and he had a full and fair opportunity to.
I'm sorry, I'm missing that. What case are you relying upon?
Kremer, where
Kremer versus Chemical Construction Corp., the U.S.
Correct.
Supreme Court decision.
Correct.
Okay, but we've got somebody in state court facing state courts that just say no. Now, they may be wrong. Maybe he should have tried to convince them that Kremer controlled or Yellow Freight controlled, and that he should have that they should change their mind and entertain the claims. But in the face of that authority, how do we say there was a full and fair opportunity?
Well, as Judge Gottschall stated, that the Garcia case.
Well, right. She had to follow Garcia. Mm-hmm. We're being asked to reconsider it on the grounds that it was mistaken in its premises. Why wasn't it mistaken in its premises if the Illinois courts were refusing to entertain such claims?
We feel that, we argue that Dr. Dukeran could have raised these claims, but he never did.
How?
He could have brought them as a Title VII claim in the Illinois Human Rights Commission or on appeal with the circuit court in regards to the Title VII claim. He still has the Illinois Human Rights Commission case pending.
We've been told that's an unrelated case. Is that right or not?
I disagree, Judge. Paragraph 13 of the complaint that Dr. Dukeran filed, it states that he is complaining about conditions of employment that he had while he was an employee at Stroger Hospital as for the county. These are conditions of employment that he had before he was terminated. If you look at that paragraph, it is germane to the case.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that a complaint about disparate pay, while an administrative complaint about disparate pay, is sufficient to bring in a claim of race discrimination or national origin discrimination in your discharge?
No, Judge. What I'm saying is that his Human Rights Commission complaint in 2005 is related to this case itself.
So that, oh, wait a minute. But he does not have a pending discharge claim before the IDHR, does he?
He has another IDHR claim that he filed in 2007.
Okay, now I'm really confused. Are there two pending IDHR matters?
Yes.
One involving pay.
Correct.
I'll accept that that's, and that seems entirely separate here. But if he's got a pending discharge claim, why doesn't the IDHR offer a remedy under for national origin discrimination here?
It is still pending.
Yeah.
Dr. Ducaran can argue that when the case is relitigated.
And would you agree that he would not be barred by res judicata in making that argument before the IDHR at this point?
Judge, I can't disagree that I wouldn't make that argument of res judicata, but I don't know how they would fine for that decision.
Given this history of Illinois law.
Correct. If Dr. Ducaran, as Stratton versus Winona Community Unit District Number 1, Dr. Ducaran could have brought his Title VII claim. He failed to do so. He failed to do in the administrative level. He failed to do in the circuit court and the appellate court. What Dr. Ducaran is trying to do in this case is get a second bite at the apple. Dr. Ducaran had every opportunity to file claim the Title VII claim.
Well, really, it's an argument that he had every opportunity to challenge the line of Illinois Court of Appeals decisions that says he couldn't file based on the strength of the Supreme Court's decision in Kremer and this court's decision in Garcia.
Correct.
Both of which were decided before his termination. So he had a full and fair opportunity to ask the circuit court to entertain his claim in the teeth of the Court of Appeals decisions in Illinois, which are inconsistent with what the Supreme Court said in Kremer and what we said in Garcia.
But he never did. In the administrative level, if he could have claimed that the agency was biased or discriminated against him because of his termination.
Yeah, that's agency bias is different from national origin bias. That you're conflating those two, and that's not going to work. He's entitled to discovery. He's entitled, if he wants, to a federal forum for his Title VII claim, right?
Yes, but he did not. We feel that he did not bring it up, so it's based on the res judicata that the case law has consistently held that he had the opportunity to bring it. He didn't bring it, and based upon that, it's based on res judicata. His claims are significantly the same group of operative facts.
I don't think that's the issue. The issue is full and fair opportunity to litigate, which is important on the claim splitting.
Absolutely.
Issue and whether there should be a consequence for claim splitting. And his position is that he had to split his claims because that's what Illinois appellate court case law required him to do, even though there was support for a contrary view from the state Supreme Court, at least in the 1983 context, and from this court and the U.S. Supreme Court in the Title VII context. I mean, that's, I think, what the nub of this case is.
Absolutely.
Whether he was required to challenge that line of authority.
Absolutely.
To avoid the consequences of claim splitting. And your position, as I understand it, is that, yes, he was required to try to push back against the Illinois Court of Appeals.
He had that opportunity, and by splitting his choices, he must abide by what has happened. So based upon that, we ask that you affirm the district court.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your time, I think, had expired, but I'll give you a minute to rebut if you have something else you'd like to say.
And I'd also like you to tell me whether there's another IDHR proceeding.
Your Honor, the second, so Ms. Dr. Ducaran filed two separate IDHR/EEOC charges, one in 2005 regarding unequal pay, one in 2006 immediately after he was fired regarding the discharge. The former one regarding pay has been stayed, but again is unrelated. We dispute the reason why it should be stayed, given that it's unrelated. And the latter one has actually been dismissed by the Illinois Department of Human Rights.
Dismissed? Why? Or do you know?
Because the EEOC issued a letter of a right to sue. The IDHR stopped proceedings on the...
Without deciding the merits?
Correct.
Okay.
Your Honor, given my short time, I'd just like to reiterate the point that the issue here is whether Dr. Jukrin had a full and fair opportunity to litigate. And the county is essentially saying that that full and fair opportunity to litigate means that he should have challenged 2 decades of well-established Illinois precedent. Again, well-established precedent, the Illinois Supreme Court in Blount v. Stroud, when overturning that precedent, indicated that that is what the law of Illinois said for these 2 decades. And so to require Dr. Jukrin to challenge those 2 decades of precedent that were well-established would not be a full and fair opportunity to litigate. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. And our thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.